Today's scripture is a familiar one. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13. If I speak in the tongues of men... Yes, can you turn the treble down a little bit? Okay. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The definition of love as we understand it, and according to Webster, is a strong affection for another arising out of kinship or personal ties. Another definition is attraction based on sexual desire, or affection based on admiration or common interests, or unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the good of others. Like hope, peace, and joy, love is a difficult emotion to define. As you can see from these definitions, love is not just one thing. The British even use it as a form of address, like, thank you, love. We say we loved that book, or I love the volleyball team, or I love to dance, or I love carrots. That word love has so many nuances. It can be big or small. We celebrate love every year with Valentine's Day. We give cards to loved ones, decorated in red hearts and white lace, little cherubs with bows and arrows. I'm not sure I understand the potential violence of that one. The kids give Valentine cards to their classmates. Everyone gets one, whether you like them or not. Do you remember the boxes we bought with a variety of small cards in them with little envelopes you put the names of your classmates on? The day is named after Saint Valentine. He was a bishop in Rome who was imprisoned for performing marriages for Christian soldiers against the decree of the Roman Emperor Claudius. They didn't want soldiers to be married because they wanted them to fight fiercely and not care if they died. The government didn't want them worrying about a wife and a family. While in jail, Valentine healed the blind daughter of his jailer, and they became friends. Valentine, though, was eventually beheaded in Rome on February 14th, 269 AD. Signing a farewell note to the young girl he had healed, from your Valentine. His feast day became a popular celebration among couples in the 18th century who expressed their devotion with greeting cards, which were known as Valentines. Saint Valentine's is the patron saint of engaged couples, happy marriages, and a couple of other unrelated things. But in this case, we are talking about our love for God and the love of God for us. The love God has for us is also hard to define and sometimes even harder to comprehend. I know He created us and loves us because of that. But I know people who created children and have trouble understanding them, let alone loving them. And we are, due to our choices, imperfect and sometimes hard to love. But it is clear that God loves us. In John 4:19-21, it states, "We love because He first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister, who they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister." He's not referring only to biological brother and sister. He's referring to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And since He created all of us, believers and non-believers, we are to extend love to everyone. Through the Bible, He has taught us the ways to love. Just as our parents or grandparents taught us how to love, to be kind, to be empathetic, God and Christ teach us how to love through the Bible. They say, love your neighbor, love your enemy. But just like our parents' teachings, sometimes we forget or choose to ignore those teachings. There are many types of love. We often refer to the Greek translation of the types of love. We have one word, and they had a whole bunch to kind of define the nuances of love. There is storge, or familial love. That is beyond affection. It is more devotion, and it is long-lasting. This is the love between family members and old, long-time friends. There is filio, brotherly love or friendship. Philadelphia, city of brotherly love, that's it. I'm sure it was derived from that word. The feeling you have toward another person or thing that is more like caring or looking out for another person. There is eros, which is passionate love, the love you have for your spouse. Agape love is charity, sacrificial love, selfless love, the love we are to show to others, whether they're friends or enemies. Agape love is one of the most often talked about when we refer to love in the Bible. Agape appears in the Bible 259 times. I kind of don't like doing that kind of stuff because I hear people who say, well, the shows up in the Bible 5,000, you know, anyway, but it's used a lot. If you have read Gary Chapman's book on the five love languages, you know that love can be expressed to another person in many ways. It can be giving gifts or speaking words of affirmation or encouragement, acts of service, physical touch, or quality time. Bob and I took the test in the book, and my main love language is acts of service. So when he has my car washed, or does the dishes, or makes the bed, or wraps Christmas presents, those are actions that make me feel loved. Bob's main love language is quality time. So when we watch TV together, or go to an antique mall, or travel, he feels loved. You can have more than one love language, but you always have just one main one. God expressed His love for us in several ways. He gave us the gift of His Son, Jesus. He made the ultimate sacrifice in sending His Son, the ultimate gift. If we think about it, it makes us feel loved. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So that gift was kind of a twofer. He gave His Son, and we get eternal life. We feel loved to receive the gift and the promise that goes with it. He encourages us with answered prayers and His word in the Bible. The one type of love God gives that makes me feel the most love is the gift of his presence, his being with us. That would equate to Gary Chapman's book as quality time. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We have the assurance that he will be with us always. For me, this is the thing that is most reassuring about his love. Psalm 46 says, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, nations are in uproar, kingdoms fail. He lifts his voice and the earth melts. The Almighty is with us. God of Jacob is our fortress." That kind of love to me is the ultimate love, the one that passes the test of time and space. A little over 23 years ago, my mother died. I had spent her last 3 months caring for her while she was in a nursing home. I was devastated. I went to bed. I couldn't function. I'm sure Bob had no idea what to do with me. But I had a friend. She came to my house. Oh dear. And sat by my bed in the dark. We didn't talk much. She was just there. That meant so much to me. It got me through the darkest moments of mourning. I don't remember how many days I was in bed, but it was a few. But I have not forgotten what she did for me by just being there. The comfort of her presence, the person who promised to be there and actually was, that was such an expression of caring and love. Being there for someone is a sacrificial, selfless type of love. It is agape love. It is not just words, it is action. It is the gift of time. That is what God does for us, but in a bigger way that we humans can do. In Romans 8:38, Paul tells us, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." There is no one on earth who can say that. Lives change, circumstances change, death happens, priorities change, but God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We have explored how God loves us, but how do we love God? John 13, 34 through 35 gives us a hint. "A command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Do people know we are Jesus' disciples by our actions? Let me tell you a story. A policeman was driving in traffic and saw a lady driving erratically and flipping off the other drivers and honking and yelling angrily out her window. He turned on his lights and pulled her over. He took her license and registration back to his cruiser, and after a long time, he came back to her. He handed her back her documents, and she said, "Why did you pull me over?" And he said, "Well, I saw the way you were driving and behaving toward everyone on the road. Then I saw the fish symbol on your bumper, and I thought you had stolen the car." Do we as Christ's followers set a loving example? Do we love unconditionally? Do we reflect the love that God has shown to us? Do people know we are followers of Jesus by the way we behave? I would put myself out on a limb and say, no, not all the time. We get frustrated by other drivers. We get annoyed at not being able to understand people who are trying to speak English, but with heavy accents. We take it out on the waitress when our food isn't very good at the restaurant. We get angry at the coach because our team is not winning. I'm sure you can think of some other questionable behaviors. I believe that love is a choice. It is not only a feeling, but a conscious decision to behave in a certain way. Jesus doesn't say, love your neighbor if it's convenient or you feel like it. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. John 13:24 states, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's quite a command, because God has loved us so completely and unconditionally, it's a hard act to follow. But again, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. The same with loving your enemy. Luke 6:35 says, but love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. I don't know about you, but I don't always feel loving. I get frustrated, upset like everyone else, but I make the conscious effort to love everyone, even those who drive me up the wall. We know the best way to love God and show Him our love is to follow His commands. We have talked about this last week and a few weeks ago. Our behavior is the way we show love to God and to others. As we look ahead to the celebration of the Savior's birth, may we appreciate once again the gift and the love that gift represents. May we start to, or continue to, behave in a way that lets the world know we are His. As Captain Picard would say, make it so. I have asked the sound booth to play a song by one of my favorite artists, Mandisa. It's called, He Is With You. I love the lyrics, and hopefully it will mean something to you too.
Am I on? Yep,
yeah.
I am. Okay. Thank you. I just think that's such a great song, and it says, no matter what, He is with you, and that means a lot to me. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the love you give us. May we return that love by following your commands and loving others the way you first loved us. And let us know that you are with us in every circumstance, whether we're happy or sad, things are going well or going bad. We know that you are there, and it gives us comfort. We are looking forward to the birth of the baby Jesus, that will bring love and light into the world beyond what they have experienced or they had experienced before. Let us celebrate that in a very special way this year. In Jesus' name, amen.